How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hi, everyone. I'm Vincent Joe.
Hi, I'm Kathy Reed.
And I'm Allison Reed.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Hi, I'm Grace.
We're from the Haydenettes.
I am Mark Henretti.
Ciao a tutti, siamo Rebecca Ghirardi.
E Filippo Ambrosini.
E vi diamo il benvenuto a
This Weekend Skating.
Welcome to This Week in Skating, the weekly podcast bringing you the latest news from the world of figure skating. Here are your hosts, Daphne, Gina, and Matteo.
Hello, we are back once again to bring you the news from the week ending June 16th, or rather, up until June 16th. Gina and Matteo, how's your week going?
I'm hot. We're having a heat wave here
yes,
in Western New York. This is day one of a four-day, I think, heat wave. I'm just not ready for it yet. I feel like it's still spring to me. It hasn't officially hit summer, but I guess I got to deal with it and just get ready for these hot temperatures. The air conditioning is at least working, so that's good. Can't complain about that then. So,
yep, I'm really excited. Matteo, how about you?
In London, UK, it's a bit different. We actually had a first day of sunshine today. It felt okay, and that's the best of British summer for you. We had a lot of really cold days, a lot of rain and wind, so really happy about today, but guess what? It's a Monday. We were working.
I know it.
Never a joy in the
UK. It's the start of the week. Yeah, it's a heat wave here too, Gina, so it makes me really excited to be at Dallas Classic in 3 weeks. I'm looking forward to being in an ice rink. It's going to be great. But we have a lot to talk about because it was a busy week and weekend last week to, basically with the ISU Congress going on. But before we get into that, I just wanted to mention that although last week we were talking about Court of Arbitration of Sport holding the hearing on the three appeals by Russia in the Kamila Valieva doping case, we don't have any results of this yet. I was a little surprised just because I thought maybe I just missed it because there's so much talk about the Congress. But no, there really isn't any information. So hopefully we'll get a report from them at some point soon.
Yeah, I was checking, on June 12th, thinking it was going to come down later that day. But there's nothing yet. So we'll just keep our eyes and ears open, and hopefully we'll have some news soon.
Yep, just keep an eye on our social media. We will post there, or we'll release it on our next episode. Probably both. So just keep an eye on what's going on over there. So let's kick off with ISU Congress, of course. Matteo, can you give us a little bit of a talk through about Vision 2030, which seemed to be the theme or a theme at the ISU Congress?
Certainly, it's something that I think will help to contextualize the Congress. So Vision 2030 is something that the president of the ISU, Joel Kim, is promoting quite a lot. It's around five pillars, which are growth, opportunity, innovation, safeguarding, and unity, which if you read the initials of all together, it spells Go ISU. So that's clearly intentional, but it's what they want to, how they want to brand their vision. So if we look at each one of them quickly, growth, they want to excite and attract global funds, have clearer rules and decisions to reach and engage more funds as well, and maximize revenues. Opportunity is around expanding global skating reputation and more countries on the podium. So they want to try to get away, I guess, from some of the usual countries to always dominate the scene. Innovation is about evolving the skating products to be relevant for the next generation and innovate the way of working, for example, when it comes to social fan engagement. So I was reading that I've got ideas in mind around shortening events length and breaks, or reinvigorating the gala when it comes to figure skating. Safeguarding is a pillar, I guess, that we are all looking at with quite a lot of attention because it's about promoting athletes' physical and mental well-being. They also mentioned zero tolerance of doping and competition manipulation. And they also have a part into safeguarding, which is about sustainability, which we know going forward will be very essential in doing what we're doing in figure skating. And lastly, Unite is about embracing collaboration with internal and external stakeholders. They mentioned a few examples, for instance, the International Olympic Committees and some of the federations, and strengthening the ISU's governance. So all of these five pillars are going to be developed with three cross-cutting themes around them. So the first one is about embracing a culture of openness and willingness to change. The second one is about acquiring new capabilities to be competitive in a fast-changing sports world. And the last one is invest to fuel the progress and change we desire. So with this in mind, we can now, I think, start to talk about the Congress, because we will see that a lot of the decisions that have been looked at and discussed at the Congress will go around ISU Vision 2030, and the presidents of the ISU himself refer to it several times throughout the entire time that they were there in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in how that applies to all the proposals that we're going to be talking about, because there are a number of them that we will be giving updates on. We have talked about some of them before, so get ready to find out how those proposals did at the Congress. But before that, there were some overarching things that we kind of wanted to point out. Gracie Gold addressed the Congress, and it was with an interview from U.S. Figure Skating's Barb Reichert. I saw some excerpts from this on Twitter, and it was really interesting. Gracie seems to, I think maybe writing that book helped her put things into perspective and get herself to a solid mental place. She has so much to share, and so much, I think, that could be helpful to others in the sport. And just in the few excerpts that I watched, I feel the ISU should probably make her an ambassador for mental health, because she really, I think, resilience, perseverance are things that I think of when I think of Gracie Gold. And there are so many athletes, I think, that don't have access to the help that they need. And to have Gracie as an advocate, as a leader in promoting mental health, could be a really positive thing. And I think the ISU or US Figure Skating should definitely embrace it and have her work with them to help make things better.
Yeah, especially with the whole safeguard for Vision 2030. This was a perfect way of kind of working towards that by having her come on and share her story with the whole ISU council. I thought was really good, and it seemed to be well received by everyone too, because the ISU president did also ask everyone at the end of the Congress, did they like having special guests come on and talk? And there seemed to be, yes, a lot of nodding of heads and yes for that. So hopefully maybe this will be something for the future that they'll continue to do by bringing in maybe not only just athletes, but others involved in the sport who can give firsthand experience to share with the members of the ISU council, because I thought this was a really good idea that they did by having her come and share her story. And it's a great way of really showing that safeguard is one of their priorities within this Vision 2030.
And on the same day, I think before, if I'm not wrong, they had the head of the International Olympic Committee Safe Sports Unit, Kirsty Burrows, which delivered a compelling speech about safeguarding as well. She also talked about the importance of mental and physical well-being for the athletes. So to then have Gracie being so open, if you listen to what she said, it's the Gracie Gold that we are seeing lately. She's very open. She puts her heart out there, the experience out there. She kind of, I think, refers to at some point understanding that she's becoming a role model for some of the skaters that are competing now and those that competing back in the day. But what she kept saying was the pressures on yourself, whether the pressure comes directly from you or whether it comes from the system, are quite big. So the support around the athletes is crucial. And the advice that she would give to herself and any athlete out there is to acknowledge when the pressure gets too much. So be brave and try to say how you feel. Hopefully, we will get more of these athletes going out there and sharing their experience. But also, what we're really hoping for is that the ISU is serious about safeguarding and taking care of these elements and commit more and more to do so.
Agreed. And I think it's not just like a national problem. This is an international problem. And so looking at it from our national perspective, but also globally from the ISU and realizing the impacts that both can have on it, moving in the right direction, I do think that we're moving in the right direction. I think this is a good step. Let's keep making those steps. Let's keep moving forward with it. Well, not everything went quite so smoothly for the ISU at the Congress because there were technological difficulties that resulted in voting members needing to use red, green, and white cards.
Yeah, this happened on day one. The electronic voting system didn't appear to work. So each day, the members had to grab their cards, and that was how they were voting. And when it came time for very close votes, where they really needed to count to make sure they had it accurate, they were requiring people to stand with their cards.
Yeah, that can set things back a bit and probably took more time than what they were planning on. And I think if you look at innovation as a whole, that the ISU seems to be stepping or moving towards this embracing of technology. And so hopefully they'll be able to figure out exactly what went wrong so it doesn't happen again. I mean, technological glitches are going to happen from time to time, and you kind of have to plan for that. And being someone who's been involved in planning big conferences, you do have workarounds. You try to figure out, you know, what to do. Did this happen the entire Congress? So they were not able to figure it out and...
Nope.
Yeah.
That was what I was thinking. I thought, okay, day one, they're not going to be able to vote and they'll get it back by day two. No, it was out the whole entire Congress. So I'm not exactly sure what happened.
Well, there were lots of discussion debates on proposals, particularly in regards to technical rule votes for singles and pairs, as they were voting on a package of tech rules and they were discussing it. If they wanted the proposals in the package or out of the package. So there was a lot of kind of randomness of deciding, you know, making these decisions. Taya, what were some of the key changes that we kind of see coming out of this after the Congress?
Yeah, one of them is modernization of the ISU constitution. That's something that has been discussed quite a lot and mentioned quite a lot. What they're aiming to do is to have more clarity and consistency and flexibility with the constitution. They're aiming to work on it over the next month and to have an extraordinary Congress in 2025 to present the results. They talked a lot about new branding and commercial opportunities. So they want to bring more revenue into the sports for the international skating unions, for the members and for the skaters. So one of the changes that was being discussed was about clothing manufacturing mark on costumes, which is something that we are not used to. We've never seen actually in figure skating. So that would be quite an interesting change. They want to enrich the fan experience, including upgrading the event's concepts, TV broadcasting presentations, and digital engagement channels. So they, I think, will see something different in the way the TV shows will and the competitions will be shown on TV. They are talking about a rebranding in general. So that's something that we'll be implementing for the season that is going to start in the imminently. And we'll all keep an eye on it to see what it will come up with to make it more engaging. I think it's quite a challenging one, but it's a curious one to keep an eye on. And lastly, they were talking about digital transformation. So they were talking about a new website, apps to put on, mobile apps to access. They referred to an asset management platform as well. And they also said that they might start to explore and use AI a bit more in the way they're providing content. So there's quite a lot of interesting aspects that were discussed. Of course, we need to see the detail coming out from most of them now. But clearly, there is a will. And I think we all know that figure skating, one of the key things is figure skating does not have a lot of money gravitating around it. So they're trying their best now to get more fans, meaning more sponsors and more money to make sure that we can make the sport sustainable and not having to sacrifice any aspect of it, hopefully.
Yeah, it's funny. One of the digital transformation, I guess it falls under that. One of the items that was brought up, and I saw some comments online, was about putting LED lights on the boards for sponsor ads. And I can just tell you from a photographer's perspective, the photos are terrible. Like, it's really a mess. So I'm just not sure how that's going to work unless there's a new technology. Every time I've taken pictures that involve LED lights, doesn't work very well. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe they'll be able to make that work. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I was hearing some things where it would be just for people viewing it at home, so it might not actually be in the arena for, like, a photographer taking photos or for anybody else just watching the event. That it may be sort of like, remember what we saw with Europeans where they would run that little flag on the ice that Mateo didn't see in person, but we saw at home. That may be what they're thinking. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see, because I thought about you guys too as the photographers. I'm like, that's not going to be good.
No, nope.
We're taking photos and editing photos. And yeah.
Yeah, not great. So let's give, let's jump into a rundown of some of the proposals. Jeannie, you want to go first?
Yeah, so the proposal, it was Proposal 21. It was about creating a Paris Technical Committee. Now, that was withdrawn, as it's going to be looked at as part of the modernization of the Constitution. And they are looking to have another ISU Congress next year that's going to just focus on the Constitution. So there will not be a Paris Technical Committee for next season, but it's not a dead proposal. It's just withdrawn for now, and they will discuss it when they look at the Constitution.
Well, Proposal 27, technical requirements to be published by May 31st, was accepted by majority, which means the technical requirements for the performers there's a hard deadline that those will be published by May 31st. That will help teams and skaters getting ready for the next season. The issue is there are a lot of athletes that are not senior or not out on the Grand Prix who are getting ready a lot earlier than that, but I will take it as, okay, this is given a hard deadline.
Urgent Proposal 11 is about manufacturer logo on costumes to be allowed. So it was mentioned before, that will be quite an interesting one for all of us to look at, because we're used to beautiful costumes that are very often telling a story as well. But this time around, they will be allowed to tell the story and sell the producer of the costume as well with a marketing logo somewhere. So we'll see how that's going to be implemented.
I'm really interested to see how that mm-hmm. happens. I'm just expecting someone in a beautiful white dress with a black Nike logo and how it's going to work. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not what it's going to be, but it just kind of, you know, this is a change and maybe, you know, this will help. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, a big proposal, proposal 45, was the junior age change for pairs and dance. So the maximum age raised to 21 for women in pairs and dance, and it raised to 23 for men in pairs. And then the maximum age allowed between partners is 7 years. So we're now going to have 23-year-old men in juniors for pairs. I get why they did this, because they're trying to develop pairs and want to keep pairs teams together longer and as they move towards senior. But a 23-year-old man skating, competing against a 13-year-old that's interesting. Obviously, his partner would not be 13 because that would be a maximum age of 10, and it's 7. But still, I get why they did it, but it's a little, you're going to have a wide range of ages in the junior discipline.
Yes, I understand why they did it too. It's interesting because the team that it would have helped or the teams that it would help are no longer together.
I know.
So I don't know. This whole thing with 23-year-olds skating against 13-year-olds and what is really considered junior.
I know.
I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know what the answer is, but I'm not sure this is it, but we'll see. So moving on to the special regulations for singles and pair skating and ice dance. There were some interesting proposals in here. Events should not begin before 9 a.m. should be planned to finish by 10 p.m. And that was rejected. That was proposal 177.
I didn't get my wish. I wanted.
Gina wants to be home and wrapped up for the night.
You know, I was thinking about it a little bit more. You know, some people who come to events rely on public transportation to get to the events, mm-hmm. whether it be, you know, the buses, subways, trains.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
And some of them don't run as late. So they're in a hurry to get out of the arena to get on a public bus or subway or whatever to get home. So that can be tough, but yeah, I was kind of hoping they were going to give that little hard time of 10 p.m. It's okay. I make it work as always.
Well, we'll see.
Prepare for long days and
when we're at Worlds, how late the transportation is open.
Yeah.
That'll be a good, gauge of it, I think.
Well, proposal 182. This one removed the -1 deduction for falls. For falls that occur on an element, the base value of the element would be reduced by 50%. That was rejected. So I didn't understand this one so well. I'm glad it was rejected. So nothing is changing in that department.
Well, it's probably in line with simplifying the rules to attract more funds, isn't
yes.
it? If the rule doesn't sound easy enough, let's not approve
and
it.
And I didn't really get this one. I kind of get it, but I'm like, okay, why? But whatever. Yeah, rejected.
Proposal 185, entries for the ISU championships must be received by the ISU 28 days before the first official practice day at the competition. Previously was 21 days, so they are asking for an additional week, basically. They're adding an additional week to get the entries confirmed.
I kind of like that, because then we might get the entries sooner, right? That's what it means? That's good.
Yeah, hopefully.
Down for that. Yeah. Another big bit of news, Proposal 188, there will not be qualifying rounds at the 2025 World Championships. Returning to qualifying rounds was voted on during the Congress in 2022. It was approved there, not approved here, so we will not be seeing qualifying rounds return.
I was happy about this one because I was like, it was going to happen for Boston. And I'm like, that meant you have to get there a little earlier. Yep. So more hotel time and trying to go and understand how it was all going to work too. I was like, well, wait, is there 2 days of qualifying rounds? And how, do you go from, if you compete in the first day of qualifying rounds, then do you go to the second day? How does this all work? So I'm glad I don't have to figure it out now and not have to worry about it. And maybe I just need to just change my travel plans a little bit. Although I may just keep them the way it is and come in a little bit earlier anyways and see some practices.
Yeah. So moving on to technical rules, singles and pair skating and ice dance. Proposal 277, amend the definitions of program component scores. That was accepted.
Well, Proposal 230, remove the order draw for free skates at ISU competitions. The starting order of the free skates will be in reverse order of the rankings after the short program. Okay. This was accepted. I was very happy about this. As someone who doesn't like to wait around for a draw before we get to a press conference, thank you. This made sense. We didn't do it during COVID. Why do we need to bring back the draw?
And I know for a fact, Gina, that you're not the only one rejoicing in this, because you had a partner in commiserating about this at Nationals 1 year. So I'm sure that she is happy as well.
Yes. But this still happens, I guess, for Nationals. This is just ISU competition.
True.
So still have to deal with it at Nationals. Right.
But not at the ISU, not at Worlds. So right. That's good.
Yes.
Proposal 234, the Euler will no longer be a listed jump and will have no base value. However, this has been accepted, however, not going into effect until 2026-2027 season. So it's not something that we're going to see until then for another 2 seasons.
For Proposal 235, a jump sequence can have up to 3 jumps in single skating, but only 2 jumps in pair skating. A Euler is allowed in the jump sequence. This was accepted, but like Proposal 234, it's not going into effect until 2026-27 season.
Well, one proposal that is going into effect next season that is causing a lot of attention on social media is Proposal 236. Somersault style jumps, such as backflips, will no longer be illegal moves. So we can start seeing backflips in competition.
Yeah, this is going into effect this season, so we're going to see it.
Proposal 239, reduce the number of jumping passes in the singles free skate from 7 to 6. So replace one level spin in the single free skate with a choreographic spin. This has been accepted, but it's not going to go into effect until the 26-27 season. So again, another one that we'll have to wait for 2 years before
and
we see it.
And this is one that's also riled a few people up as well, because it's going into effect the season after the Olympics. Proposal 240, reduce the number of jump combinations sequences in the singles free skate from 3 to 2, accepted, but not going into effect until 2026-2027.
And Proposal 241, the same type of jump cannot be included more than 3 times in the singles free skate, regardless of the number of revolutions. The rep-based value deduction changed from 70% to 80%. Additionally, defined the choreographic spin. This was accepted, but not going into effect until the 26-27 season.
Another one that was accepted but not going into effect until 26-27 is Proposal 242. Fist lips in pairs will no longer be required to lend on a backward outside edge.
Proposal 245, in the pairs free skate, replace one level lift with a choreographic lift in seniors only. Replace the level pair spin with a choreographic pair spin and remove the choreographic sequence. This was accepted, but not going into effect until 26-27 season.
Proposal 246, define the choreographic pair spin in choreographic lift. Again, accepted, but not going into effect until the 26-27 season.
And Proposal 251, define the minimum duration of an ice dance lift to be 3 seconds. So remove the definition of the duration for shorts lift and combination lifts. These will be defined in each season's technical communications going forward. It is to be noted that the 2024-2025 ice dance technical rules increase the maximum duration of a short lift from 7 to 8 seconds and a combination lift from 12 to 13 seconds. This proposal has been accepted.
Wow, that is a ton of information to digest. There are a couple things I kind of want to look into and will look into. Those proposals were not the only thing that was discussed at the ISU Congress. They met on the 15th and 16th to decide where Mateo is going for the European Championships. And I am the one that said it. I am happy for Tallinn. Tallinn, Estonia is going to host Europeans. They've hosted four continents before, when there was no one to step forward and do it. They've hosted the World Junior Championships. Now they're going to host the European Championships. I believe this is the second time, or they hosted Europeans the same year as four continents, correct? It was about the same. It was like back to back.
Yeah, same back. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And Mateo, you've not been to Tallinn.
I have not been. No, I was hoping to go that year, but the COVID regulations were still quite strict. And in working in healthcare, I had to, unfortunately, I had to prioritize, of course, the work that I was doing. So I couldn't go there because of, I think it was still the time where if you were in the country and you were catching COVID, you would have had to stay there for 2 weeks before being able to come back to your country to then isolate for another 2 weeks. So basically, long story short, it was too complicated. But hopefully nothing like that next January. You can be guaranteed that I'm going to be in Tallinn.
Those will be held from January 27th through February 2nd.
So that's after nationals.
Yes.
This year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Olympic judge and ISU official Charlie Sear was selected as a recipient of the ISU Gold Award of Merit at the 2024 ISU Congress. Charlie is recognized for his contributions to the ISU as an official and as the ISU Sports Technical Director for Figure Skating, becoming the first North American to be appointed and serving in the role for nearly 10 years. He also contributed to the establishment of the IJS system. Charlie was given the award posthumously. He passed away last year, so.
So that brings us to the end of our ISU news. However, we do have a couple of other news items to talk about.
Three-time world champion and two-time Olympic medalist Patrick Chan will be inducted into Canada's Sports Hall of Fame this year. He joins his friends Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer, who were inducted last year.
And tickets for the 2024 Skate America will go on sale to the public Thursday, June 20th. Skate America is going to take place in Allen, Texas from October 18th through the 20th. Of course, you know that we will put the links out on social media as soon as we have them for those who want to get tickets.
So moving on to our event results, the 2024 Southport Summer Classic took place in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. That was part of the National Solo Dance Series for the Midwest section. We will have the results in our show notes.
Moving on to featured interviews and articles, we have two to cover for you today. In the first one, Alex Benoit, the 2017 U.S. pewter medalist in ice dance, is part of a Broadway show, The Notebook, And he made his stage debut in May. So we have that article. It's by our good friend J.R. Walker.
I was looking for him last night at the Tony Awards. Unfortunately, The Notebook did not perform. You know how they have a Broadway musicals do like a little number. So it made it harder to see if he was actually at the Tony Awards. But I've been wanting to see if we could get him on the podcast because I do love Broadway. So it would be really cool to have both kind of my worlds combined, but maybe. But this was a really good update from JR, and I really think it's cool that he's now doing Broadway. I remember watching Alex, so.
There was also an article featuring Christina Carrera that was in the June issue of Women Fitness Europe magazine. She's on the cover and it's available for purchase in print or via digital download. We are going to have the link to it in our show notes as well.
We do have a couple of other articles that we will share in our show notes, so be sure to check those out. Moving on to social media updates. The new pair of Ashlyn Schmitz and Rain Eberl, coached by Dave Schultz and Garrett Gosselin, are training at Kitchener-Waterloo Skating Club this week.
Well, congratulations to Kirsten Moore Towers and Liam Ferris, who got married Saturday in Vancouver. There are a lot of photos on social media, and a number of current and former skaters were in attendance, including Liam's brother, Shane Ferris, and his new wife, Caroline Soucis, Caitlin Hawaiik, Caitlin Weaver, Mariah Bell, Alex Johnson, Max Aaron, Jason Chan, Olivia Smart, Conrad Orzel, Mitch Islam. It looked like it was a beautiful wedding. I mean, the view. Oh, my God. So congratulations to Kirsten and Liam. Beautiful looking wedding. I hope they had a wonderful wedding day.
I noticed that they had a couple of photos with their pups. And so I was very excited.
There is another wedding coming up as well on June 20th in Hawaii. It's actually Madison Chalk and Evan Bates' wedding, which is a wedding that we all knew it was going to come. Yes. It's finally the time for the two of them to get married. It's going to be one of those that I think will be out there as well, and hopefully we'll see quite a lot of beautiful photos and a beautiful celebration that they deserve to seal the love.
I'm already seeing some people making their way to Hawaii who I'm guessing are going to be at the wedding, so I can't wait to see photos get posted. So congratulations to I love all this wedding news. It's so exciting. We've had a lot in this off season. You know, this is the time. If you're going to compete next season, you got to get married in like this little window of time. And we've had quite a few weddings happening right between May and June.
Definitely. So Meryl Davis has shared that she's embarking on a new adventure as a client of Lori Steele at Steelworks Literary, which is an organization that represents and works with authors. So I'm looking forward to maybe reading a Meryl Davis book in the future.
Yeah. She did do a children's one not too long ago, so I'm wondering what she's going to do now.
Yeah.
Well, we've had wedding news. Now I have a little baby news to share. Kimmy Meisner posted that she and her husband, Josh, welcomed a baby girl 3 weeks ago. The baby's name is Skylar. So congratulations to Kimmy and her husband, Josh.
And lastly, Carolina Costner is going to have a show called Japanese Dream Ice Gala on August 15th in Varese, Italy, with skaters from the Japanese Federation. We know that she's working with a lot of important skaters, including Yuma Kageyama. So we don't have the full cast confirmed, but it might be there alongside other important names. So it's quite an interesting one to keep an eye on. And the 15th of August in Italy is a public holiday. So it's surely going to be quite well attended.
Well, moving on to our upcoming events for the week. The Lake Placid Figure Skating Championships will be taking place in Lake Placid, New York from June 19th through the 22nd. Ooh, in just over a month, I'm going to be in Lake Placid, so Gina, it's going to be fun. But that will be for the Ice Dance Championships.
Yes.
I'm also really excited about this next event. I've been to Chesapeake Open before. It's in Laurel, Maryland. It's also taking place from June 19th through the 22nd. It's part of the National Solo Dance Series for the Eastern Section. They usually have an ice dance camp there at either like at the on the weekend usually. It's not part of the National Qualifying Series because it falls before July 1st. But I think there will be some dance teams there, and Melanie will be the photographer at this competition. So, be fun.
Well, in Arizona, the Arizona Ice Classic competition is taking place in Chandler, Arizona, June 22nd to the 23rd. And then two other events that are coming up a couple days later. Broadmoor Open in Colorado Springs is June 23rd to the 28th. And then the National Theater on Ice is in Evansville, Indiana, June 26th to the 29th.
Well, you know that we like to end our podcast by shining a lens on what's going on at This Week in Skating, IDC, and FSO. Mateo, would you like to let folks know how awesome your mug is that you got from the Twiz store?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a wonderful mug. I'm actually drinking tea as we're doing the podcast now, and definitely something that people should go and check on our website, see what else we had there. Gina's got a beautiful flask, and we cannot wait to hear to hear what you are getting.
Yeah, if you get something from our store, please take a picture and post it on social media or send it to us. We'd love to find out what you got, and if you like it, let us know. So over at IDC, we are in the middle of the 25th anniversary celebrations. It has been crazy, the nostalgia that I've just been feeling, thinking about all these different memories and experiences I've had over the last 25 years with so many different people. I wanted to mention that athletes, parents, coaches, fans, past, present, can record a video message for us for our video tribute at tribute.co/IDC turns 25, collecting those until the end of the month. And I'd love to get to hear more from fans that have followed the site, especially if you followed the site from the beginning. Really would like to hear from you. Also, we have Morgan's latest article where she talks about skaters and yoga and the benefits of doing yoga. And Gina doesn't even know this yet. On July 29th in Lake Placid from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., we are planning to hold our IDC 25th anniversary celebration. So I'm just letting you guys know now, if you're going to be in Lake Placid, I will have more details soon, and as soon as I do, I'll let you know. But that is the tentative plan. We will have to wait and find out what the schedule is going to be. But usually that Monday night from 7 to 9 is practices and different things. So that's the plan for now.
Well, I did hear a little thing about that, and it may be the reason why I'm coming up a day earlier than I originally planned. So, yeah, I'm looking very much forward to celebrating IDC's 25th anniversary up in Lake Placid with everybody. And if you didn't catch our IDC podcast, please make sure you check that out. I learned so much about how IceDance.com came about, and it was a great to have Daphne in the hot seat and Mateo and I ask her questions about the last 25 years of IDC and the future of IDC.
Tons of fun and tons of great memories, and you two have been a part of it too, especially the last couple years. So we're just continuing with the legacy, and honestly, your questions got me thinking about the legacy and what, you know, how to steer the ship going forward. So I really appreciated it, and you asked me some questions I've never had before, so that was also fun. Gina, what's going on at FSO?
Well, I've been working on some behind-the-scenes things, so there's not a lot that you saw different on the site this past week. Just doing some stuff behind the scenes that will be ready pretty soon, so stay tuned for that.
Well, this is a little bit longer than our usual 30 minutes, but we had a lot to talk about when it comes to the ISU Congress.
We're going to wrap up now so Mateo can go to bed, because I'm seeing that time, and I'm like, it's getting late. So we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in Skating. Remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week by visiting our website at www.thisweekinskating.com. Connect with us on social media for additional updates. You can find us on Twitter at This Week in Skating without the E's, or Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at This Week in Skating. You got a burning question or feedback for Gina, Daphne, or Mateo? Reach out to us via social media or drop us an email at thisweekinskating@gmail.com. And if you're really enjoying the show and want to support us further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. Until next time, have a nice week.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.